So we're in week four of a 12-week series on the Holy Spirit. We're calling it the gift of the Spirit. And we want to, together as a family, experience the life, the love, and the power of God together. We want to do this as a family. We want to experience his nearness and goodness together as a family. And so the last 3 weeks, we have talked a lot about who the Holy Spirit is. So we started off week one. Who is the Holy Spirit? Week two, a couple Sundays ago, we talked about how can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? And this last week, we focused on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit fills our life, what's the fruit that grows in us when he fills us? So today, we're going to focus on and explore the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you a little bit about my upbringing. My parents, Brad and Susie, and me and my brother, Nathan, and I, my brother and I grew up in a home, very loving home, and my father is a musician, and he was in a band in the late 1960s, a local kind of band that did, that performed, wrote their own music. They were called the Black Watch, and I have a photo of this, of my dad's group here. So yeah, Black Watch, and my dad is actually the one in the black coat there, second from the right, and we're matching today. I didn't plan that, but anyway, so this is in the late 60s, and so my dad like loves the electric guitar, and my brother and I grew up watching my dad play guitar, loving music. We listened to a lot of music in our home. So my dad loved The Who, Cream, Yardbirds, Beatles, and to grow up in a home with my father meant to just, you had to love rock and roll. It really was not a question. You had to do it. And we loved, my brother and I love both of our parents a lot, but today this is not about mom, this is going to be about dad, just to be specific with this illustration. One day, I think I've told you this story, one day I came home when I was in like grade 11, I think. And I could hear this really loud music from the street. Like I wasn't yet inside my house. And I could hear coming out of our house, this really loud music. And I'm coming home from school and I like open the front door and it's just really loud. Our home system is blaring some kind of Eric Clapton song. And my dad has his amp turned up to 11 and he is just jamming, right? And he doesn't see that I come in, right? Through the front, I'm like, Dad! Dad, and finally he was like, "Hey, son, how you doing?" And I'm like, my dad like loves rock and roll, and I was like, "Okay, that's just a little window into my experience." Okay, it's on. That's good. A window into my experience growing up with him, and so they gave us gifts. My dad and mom gave us an electric guitar, an acoustic guitar, a bass guitar. They bought drums for my brother. And when my brother and I used those gifts, we didn't use them because we had to or because we were trying to earn our parents' love, but because we were simply prize boys. We were sons of our father. We enjoyed the gifts because we loved the giver of those gifts. It was fun. We really wanted to do what our dad did and does. We actually started our own band. Our dad recorded with us. He laid down a guitar track. He purchased time at a studio for us to go record. He would tour with us as our sound guy in the back, like super proud as he was like mixing the band. He and mom were like our number one fans. And so the gift of rock and roll, the gift of instruments, the gift of a band, it was all rooted in our love for our father. And North Langley, today, as we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, we need to see that the gifts of the Spirit flow from the Holy Spirit, that we cannot have the gifts without him. We can't divorce the gifts from the giver. Here in the family of God, we get to enjoy gifts because we enjoy the presence of the giver of those gifts. And so our prayer today is going to be this, quote, "Father, pour out your Spirit upon us. May we enjoy every gift that you want to give us. And through these gifts, may we enjoy you more fully." Through the gifts, May we enjoy you more fully. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Father God, you're in the room right now, moving. Holy Spirit, you're at work. You're moving here in the room. And we pray that you would come and fill us. We pray that you would open our eyes to the great gifts that you want to give your people. Would you show us what it means to be one body with a diversity of gifts? And we pray that as we learn about your gifts, that it would always draw us back to you, the great giver. We love you. Amen. All right, so before we dive into our scripture verse, I need to say a couple quick things. First of all, I made an error last week, and I said something that was not true. I quoted a theologian in one of my quotes, and I said the late Gordon Fee, and I just need to let you know, super embarrassing, he's not dead. I couldn't believe it. So he is 87, he's not dead yet. So a few of my astute fact-checking friends fact-checked me this week, and I was very embarrassed. And so I am sorry, and should Gordon Fee ever watch this, which he won't, my apologies to you. Anyway, thank you for my two friends. So it's always good to fact-check me. So you've got Google on your phone, so feel free to, at any point, do that. Okay, so secondly, I do want to introduce you to the authors and thinkers that have helped me as I prepared for this series. And so some of you guys like to do further reading, a little bit more digging theologically. And so I'll just really quickly want to put up just a few resources that have been helpful for me. So first book by Gordon Fee, who is very much alive. Paul, the Spirit, and the People of God. This is a shorter book. Gordon Fee wrote like a 900-page book called God's Empowering Presence. This is the more like concise version. So you can check out Paul, the Spirit, and the People of God. Sam Storms, pastor at Bridgeway Church in Oklahoma City, and he wrote a book called Understanding Spiritual Gifts. It's really amazing. For those of you who care, he dedicates one book to John Wimber and another book to Wayne Grudem. And so that'll show you the diversity. That probably, I don't know if that meant much to anyone, but that just shows you the diversity of the people he's pulling from. John Stott, his book, Baptism and Fullness. I love John Stott. And it's just a really simple book that you can pick up. Baptism and Fullness, he's been so helpful. And then, of course, as always, Tim Mackey with the Bible Project. There's several podcasts on the Holy Spirit. Those would be very easy to download, and you can check those out. He's a brilliant scholar. So hopefully that's helpful if you want to do some deeper digging. All right, so let's read our scripture passage for today. We're in the book of Romans, chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, if you want to grab your Bible, and we will begin in verse 3. So Paul writing to the church at Rome. "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." So this is the word of the Lord. We are part of a body. Spiritual body. Here we are, we, the family of God. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is not an individual thing, always. It is an individual. So you and I are filled with the Holy Spirit, but we are also filled as a we, as an us. He fills his new temple. That's us, you and I. his family, his body with his spirit. Together, as one body, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And like a body has many members, so I have eyes and arms, legs, ears, fingers. Like a body has many members, these members do not all have the same function. That's from verse 4, Romans 12, verse 4. These members don't all have the same function. You're one body, but there's different members. And verse 5, each member belongs to all the others. We're all part of the same body. We belong to each other. So check out Romans 12. We belong to each other, but we don't have the same function. You and I are given different gifts in the body of Christ. Do you know what those gifts are? When the Holy Spirit fills the church, each of us has a unique role to play. You have a unique role to play. This list in Romans 12 is often referred to as, quote, spiritual gifts. Now, did you know that the words spiritual gifts are not found in the Bible in the original language, in Greek? Now, some of you, if you're flipping through your Bible, you're like, yeah, it is. It's right here. It's in English. But if you looked at the Greek, it's not there. So the closest, there's a couple passages that get quite close. So 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, if you were to open it right now, you would see the phrase, now concerning spiritual gifts, some of your translations say. But the word there is pneumatikos, which simply means spiritual things. So Paul starts that chapter. He wouldn't have written in chapter form, but anyway, he writes that verse saying, now about spiritual things, the things of the Spirit that you have questions about, right? But he's not writing about spiritual gifts per se. The Greek words for spiritual gifts are not in the Bible. Romans 1:11 might be another verse that comes close. So Paul says, I would like to impart a spiritual gift to you in Romans chapter 1. But that word is pneumatikos charismata, which simply means a spiritual grace. I'd love to give you a spiritual grace. So the term spiritual gifts is not in the Bible. So what do we mean when we use this phrase? Now, by the way, if you're new to Jesus, you've got, like, you're ahead of the game, because for you, things are a blank slate. And for you, you can learn. Some of us who grew up in the church, we heard a lot of spiritual gifts, and to come to find out that there's actually a variety of words that we attribute to spiritual gifts. And I want to kind of walk through them here. Now, what do we mean when we use this phrase? Well, God gives his church, his body, beautiful gifts from the Holy Spirit. It's true. But the list of these gifts are all very unique. And I want to take you on a tour of the different Greek words that we bundle together when we're talking about spiritual gifts. Okay? So let me walk you through. So in Romans 12, we find the word charisma or charismata. It simply comes from the root word charis, which means grace. These are graces from God to the church. As Gordon Fee says, a charisma is a concrete expression of grace. In Romans 12, the word is phanerosis. Phanerosis. And we have a list of what we call manifestations of the Spirit. The context in Romans 12 is the whole church, and the context in 1 Corinthians 12 is what happens in a gathered worship service, it seems. It would seem. In Ephesians chapter 4, we have the word doma, which is the word gift. But these gifts look like leadership roles from Jesus for leadership in the church. In 1 Corinthians 12, again, we have another word that's used, diakonia, which are forms of service or roles. And then we have another word in 1 Corinthians 12, which is energemata, which are energies or powers for God's people. Five words: charisma, phanerosis, doma, diakonia, energemata. Grace, manifestation, gift, service, power. So when I use the phrase spiritual gift, I mean these five words bundled together. Now, well, Matthew, why would you bundle them? Is it wise to bundle these five diverse words together? Well, maybe, or maybe not. I'll let you decide. But here is what they all have in common. Here's what they all have in common. These are all beautiful moments where God shows up through his Holy Spirit and gives us something. He gives us himself so that we have grace to love one another, charisma, a manifestation of his Spirit in worship, phanerosis, a gift of leadership in the church, doma, a new way to serve and care for each other, diakonia, and the power made real among us, energemata. In other words, these are all beautiful gifts of the Holy Spirit for the church. And we want the fullness of every spiritual gift that the Holy Spirit wants to give his people. I want all five. I want to see all five at work in my life. Now, how many gifts are there? Well, let me take you on a little tour of the passages of Scripture that outline the gifts. Let me just give you a tour of some of these. They're beautiful. So in Romans 12, 6 to 8, we just read this, but we see seven gifts here. Prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, then do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Seven gifts right there. But we move to 1 Corinthians 12, and we see a host of these manifestations at work. So to one, there's given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. And 1 Corinthians 12 is not done. Let's go to verse 28. God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance / administration. I'm messing with the word of God there, but it could be either. And of different kinds of tongues. And then Ephesians 4. Let's go to Ephesians 4. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. No. Did you count how many were there? There are over 20 distinct gifts mentioned in the New Testament. Over 20. And some of them are like overlapping, and some of them are the same, and some are quite different than the others. But I don't think we should limit the list to these gifts alone. For instance, what about the gift of prayer, the gift of leading in musical worship, or the casting out of the demonic, and so on? They're not on the list, but they are good gifts from the Holy Spirit to us. Remember, these lists were given to highlight the ways in which God was at work in these particular places. So 1 Corinthians is written to Corinth, in the book of Romans to the church at Rome, in the book of Ephesians to the church gathered in the city of Ephesus. So we're entering into a particular list for a particular church at a particular time. And so while we have over 20 gifts mentioned, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is sovereign, and he can move in any way he chooses to move amongst his people. As John Stott writes, quote, "The living God who loves variety and is a generous giver may well bestow many, many more than that." Now, at this point, I know that probably many questions arise within us, maybe some comments, maybe some concerns, and I want to let you know that for the next number of weeks, we're going to explore some of these questions, comments, concerns that kind of pop up as we study the gifts of the Spirit. But today, I simply want us to see the plan, the hope, the blueprint, the vision. The Spirit, North Langley, is so delighted to fill us, to move in our life, and to give gifts to each of us, unique gifts to each of us, so that together we can enjoy him, and so that together we can love one another. Now, let me illustrate the gifts at work through an illustration that involves donuts. I reached out to one of my professors from seminary. His name's Daryl Johnson, and I told him we were going to do this series on the gifts of the Spirit, and he gave me this great little example. So this comes from Daryl, and he was inspired by Dr. Glenn Thorpe, and so I'm going to tweak this illustration a little bit, but this comes from him. Okay, imagine I am carrying a box of Tim Hortons donuts, and I really want to give the worship team some donuts when they're practicing here early Sunday morning. And so I have a box of donuts, and I'm walking around, and I'm handing a donut, you know, to the team. But there's all these cords, you know, on the ground, and I trip over the cords, and donuts go everywhere. Are you with me? Can you see the scene? Okay, so now, Romans 12, we have seven gifts listed. And we're just going to use Romans 12 to imagine the seven kinds of ways in which seven people who are gifted differently might want to help Matthew with the situation he finds himself in, lying, sprawling on the floor with donuts everywhere. Okay, so seven people, seven unique gifts. This is how they respond. And by the way, they're all named the gift. Okay, so Mercy runs up to me. Mercy runs up to Matthew and says, "It's okay, Matthew. We all make mistakes." They know I'm embarrassed, and so Mercy puts his arms around me. You know, "It's okay. I know you're embarrassed." Leadership runs up to the scene and says, "Somebody get a broom and a dustpan. Somebody grab some duct tape and tape those cords down. Hey, somebody needs to run to Timmy's and grab some donuts. We need to set up a subcommittee to look into the situation and the problem with all the cords." Okay? So we already have a subcommittee formed. Someone's on their way to Tim Hortons. Leadership. Giving runs up to the scene and says, "Wait, I'll buy the donuts. And here, let me write a check to the church so they can purchase better equipment so you don't have to tape cords down, so we've got the technology and you don't have to do that anymore. And actually, I'm going to write a bigger check so that the whole church just gets a donut because everyone just needs a donut. It's on me. Thank you, giving." Exhortation runs up to the scene and says, "Matthew, next time you should walk around the cords." Exhortation usually needs to give it a few minutes, right? Just be like, "We don't need you right at the moment of the scene. Maybe later. You know, you need to be," and exhortation says, "And Matthew, you need to be honest with the tech team that the cords are in the wrong place. You've had a hard time being honest with the tech team, right, Matthew?" "Yes, I have. Yes, I have. But all right, you need to be a little bit more honest with them. You're not going to hurt their feelings." Okay. Thank you, exhortation. Teaching runs up to the scene and says, "Well, the reason this happened is twofold. Point number one, cords should never be left unsecured. And point number two, the donuts should have been more securely wrapped." Thank you, Tisha. Again, we need you a little bit later on. Service doesn't say a word. Service has been cleaning on the floor the entire time, right? They don't have any words for you, right? When exhortation has, you know, kind of brought you to the side and is telling you stuff, service was down there cleaning, right? Cleaning up the mess. Thank you, service. And then prophecy, finally. Prophecy runs up and says, "This is what happens when you're not careful. Do you see the parable in all of this? Cords are always lying across our path. The evil one is always trying to trip us up, and we need to stay alert to the dangers all around us, visible and invisible." Okay, thank you, prophecy. There we go. The gifts of the Spirit at work. Yeah, thank you. Thanks to Daryl for that. When spiritual gifts are active in the church, we are seeing the Holy Spirit at work. Did you notice that that list of seven, they're the Holy Spirit. They're all the Spirit, right? He moves in all of those ways. We're seeing him at work. We're enjoying him. We're near him. The Holy Spirit is giving us the gift of himself. So when I see someone praying for healing, I come to know the Spirit of God who heals. When I see someone teaching the truth, I come to know the Spirit of truth himself. When someone shares a word of wisdom in my life, I come to know the Spirit who is filled with wisdom. And when I see someone giving generously to someone else, I come to know the Spirit who is a great giver. The Holy Spirit is giving us the gift of Himself. We want the giver, not just His gifts. We want His presence, C-E, not just His presence, T-S. We want His empowering presence, not just His power divorced from His presence. We want Him to do what He wants to do in us. Yes, Holy Spirit, come fill us with Your charisma, phanerosis, Your doma, Your diakonia, Your energemata, but over all these things, give us Yourself. We want to know You. As St. Augustine said, You have made us for Yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in You. How many of us have experienced our restless hearts resting in the love of God because somebody used their gift to love us? And somehow, we sense the love of God in that moment. Remember, the greatest gift of the Holy Spirit is the gift of new birth, right? Christ in you. What a gift. Eric Liddell, aka the Flying Scotsman, was a Scottish runner and Christian missionary who won the gold medal in the 400-meter race at the 1924 Olympics in Paris. His life story was captured in the movie Chariots of Fire. And he said this about running. Many of us love this quote. God made me fast, and when I run, I feel His pleasure. When I run, I feel His pleasure. Apply that to spiritual gifts. God made me to teach, and when I teach, I feel His pleasure. God made me to serve, and when I serve, I feel His pleasure. God made me to give, to prophesy, to lead, and when I do these things, I sense His pleasure at work in me. Not because I'm earning something, but because I'm delighting in the gift God has given me. And as we pray, Father, fill us with Your Holy Spirit. Yes, He will cleanse us from sin. Yes, He'll pour the love of God into our hearts. But yes, He will give us the gift of Himself and His good gifts. We are His children, and we have a part to play in the body of Christ. You have a part to play in the body of Christ, a unique role to play. Are you aware of it? Now, how do I receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit? There's been some writing in the past, maybe some teaching in the past that sees this a bit differently. But let me ask you this. How do we receive the gifts of the Spirit? Are the gifts of the Spirit a natural wiring since we were young? Gifts that we've noticed in our life since we were young? Sure. Are the gifts of the Spirit given at the moment we gave our life to Jesus Christ, at the moment of conversion? Sure. Are the gifts of the Spirit given for a particular moment in time based on a present need? Sure. Yes to all above. Sometimes Christians can argue about when do we receive a spiritual gift, but I'm not sure that's that important. God is the gift giver. He's sovereign, and He gives as He pleases. He uses natural talents and wirings in our life. He'll give us a gift for a particular moment in time. He'll give us a gift at the moment we become a Christian. It's all good. In my life, I've witnessed all three happen in me. I want to begin with natural wiring. When I was really little, I had grown-ups in my life mentioned that, you know, Matthew is a teacher, just ever since I was really little. They were like, he loves to teach. There were these poetry festivals that every year I'd join a poetry festival, and I loved being in front of people, and I would share my poems, and I actually have a picture of my grade 5 class hoisting me on their shoulders because I won a poetry festival. It was like a soccer game. It's like he just scored a goal, but nope, you just won a poetry festival. He's coming up on our shoulders. They were so excited. And one time, my principal from my elementary school came over to my house because our family had a tent for camping that the principal wanted to borrow, and my mom was the guidance counselor, so they were friends. So I knew how to set up the tent, and so I walked my principal through how to set up a tent. I did it, and then I took it down, and I packed it back up, and then I looked at my principal, and I said, now you do it. I'll watch you do it. Take it up, and then take it back down. And she mentioned to my mom, she's like, he's going to be a teacher. It's like, yeah. It's like, but throughout the years, I prayed that God would fan the flame of what might be more of a natural wiring since I was younger. Now, what about conversion? Well, I believe that around the time I was converted, when I gave my life to Jesus Christ and I was baptized, I experienced a deep desire to share my faith, the gift of evangelism. I love sharing my faith. There is nothing I love better here at North Langley than to meet with some of you who are new to Jesus, and you're exploring who Jesus is, and we get to go for coffee, and I get to tell you more about who he is, and I love that experience, absolutely love it, and I've loved it ever since I was about 8 years old, and I remember when I gave my life to Jesus, and I had this desire to share my faith. But then, since I've been older, I've experienced a gift come at a particular moment, at a particular time, for a particular person. About 8 years ago, I was here at a prayer evening in the chapel, and there were some of us praying in a circle. We were all standing. I had my eyes closed. I had my hands out, and I was just praying, and I was trying to listen to what God was going to say to me, and the weirdest thing happened. I got this weird kind of pain sensation in my back, like my back right. And I was like, it's not going to hurt, but it was just like, oh, it's a weird pain, and I don't have back pain. And I was like, where did that come from? And I felt this little tug on my heart to ask the person, this guy who's standing on my right, if I could pray for him and to ask him if he had back pain. This is weird. Just so you know, this doesn't happen to me. Normally, you're like, that must happen to Matthew all the time. It does not happen to Matthew all the time. It happened once. Hasn't happened since. And I felt this pain. I was like, hey, do you have back pain? He's like, I have incredible back pain. He's like, actually, I was really discouraged today. And I said, well, I think I'm supposed to pray for you for your back pain. And so I prayed for him, and the back pain went away. Now, I'm not a doctor. I'm not telling you that today he doesn't have back pain. I don't know that. But about 8 years ago that night, he sensed God's love in his life, that God had remembered him, and that God was just touching his life that evening. And, you know, does Matthew have the gift of healing? Well, I don't know. But, like, in that moment, he had the gift of healing. He got healed, for that evening at least. And it was a moment of love. And he would love God more, and I loved God more, and then we loved each other, and it was like, well, what a beautiful moment. Is that not God, right? To just kind of move into that moment and give him some hope that God was still seeing him and loved him. And so I don't know. Are these natural wirings? Do they come at conversion? Are they particular moments for a particular time? I just say yes, I think. I just say yes. And so as we think about what our spiritual gifts are, I want to give three humble suggestions of what it would look like to discover your spiritual gift. First, I would say this: look at your life. When you look back on your life, what are some of those naturally, those talents, those ways in which you've been naturally wired, where you've seen God use those things to love others, and that when you were using that gift, you somehow were feeling his pleasure, like Eric Liddell. Can you think of anything? When you look at your life, how are you naturally wired? Secondly, pray for the gifts. Is there a particular gift that you would love to have? Did you know that we are encouraged to eagerly desire the spiritual gifts? If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, we read this: follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Now, let's hold our horses. Prophecy is in 2 weeks, so we're not going to go there right now. But eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit. Do you eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit? I believe God is permissioning us to come to him and pray. Remember, he's a good father. He doesn't give bad gifts to his children. He says, would you come? And you go, I would love to operate in that gift. Would you give it to me? Sometimes I always thought that, you know, the Holy Spirit would just, like, I would just be passive, you know, sitting on a couch, and God would zap me with a gift. But 1 Corinthians seems to encourage us to lean in, to take a risk, to want them. Do you desire the gifts of the Spirit? See, my brother and I couldn't wait to be in a band. We couldn't wait to do what our Father loved to do. We eagerly desired it. How much more should we eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit? And third, finally, see the need and try the gift. See the need and try the gift. Like, step into it. So look around, just like that guy who needed, actually, I didn't know he needed healing for his back, but sometimes a need shows up. And you go, okay, God, I'm going to do this. I'm going to pray. Okay, God, I see somebody who has a financial need. I'm going to go ahead and give. You know, would you just fill me with joy as I write that check to somebody in need? Would you fill me with joy as I say yes to teaching at our life group meeting? And I've never taught before, but okay, I'm going to do it. And okay, I'm going to say, you know, whatever it is, right? There's a need. Lean in. Take a risk. Try it out. Look around you. What are the needs around you? Don't you know the Holy Spirit wants to meet those needs in and through you so that they love him more, so that you love him more, so that you love each other more? Like, it's like a little love fest, right? When the Spirit moves and we operate in our gifts, it's beautiful. Earlier in the service, you heard Pastor Janet talk about serving opportunities. These are beautiful needs that our body currently has. What if you leaned into one of them and said, Lord, I don't do this very much, but I'll sign up, I'll lean in. God, I want you. I want to enjoy loving you and loving others. And so would you give me a joy as I serve you? Just so you know, when you go on that webpage to serve, Pastor Jeff and I were talking, just Yorksonites in the room, Yorkson is going to be launching back into services very soon. So just check out that link. And Yorksonites, you can serve there as well. There's a place there. Also, I want to let you know that we have prayer ministry training. Some of you maybe are watching some of the people who pray in the prayer room or pray up front, and you're like, I would love to be trained in that. I would love to just operate in this beautiful gift of praying for other people. And there's prayer ministry training. It starts October 23rd, 9 a.m. You can sign up at nlcc.ca. There's a need to pray for people. What if you took a risk and stepped into that? So I just want to quote Sam Storms here. He says this. I like this quote. He says, as we spend less time obsessed with some introspective search to identify our spiritual gifts and more time actually praying and giving and helping and teaching and serving and exhorting those around us, the likelihood greatly increases that we'll walk headlong into our gifting without ever knowing what happened. God will more likely meet us with his gifts in the midst of trying to help his children than he would while we're taking a spiritual gifts analysis test. Right? Some of you have taken those tests and it's just like, well, I don't know, you know. But I would say just naturally look at your life, pray for the gifts, see the need, and try it out. Lean in, trust, risk. Now, please know a couple things real quick. We don't own our gift. We steward the gifts God has given. The gifts are not my superpower. They're not my, quote, personality type. They're not my Myers-Briggs letters. Some gifts operate for a while. Others show up on occasion. It doesn't matter. We hold them loosely, but we enjoy them deeply. Why? Because we love him. Because we're kids in his house, and we love to operate in however he wants us to operate. So as we near the end, I want to bring up a potential elephant in the room, if I could. I know that this sermon series carries a risk for us as a church family. Some of this, if you grew up like I did, in more of a cessationist church, that this is kind of new territory for us. Cessationists, for those of you who are new to Jesus, just the teaching that the spiritual gifts have ceased with the apostles, the very first disciples of Jesus. And when I read the scriptures and try to understand the scriptures, I don't see that at all. I think if we're faithful to God's word, I don't see that at all. I think the leaders of the New Testament assumed that the gifts would be in full operation in the life of the church. And so for many of us who come out of that cessationist background, this is new territory. And Sometimes the spiritual gifts, like especially like prophecy or speaking in tongues or just even talking about the Holy Spirit this much, can feel off-putting to some of us. But I just want to encourage us for a second. For many years, we have, as a church, have been investing in God's word and in godly community. And I just want to give a picture of what Matthew, like when I think of a healthy church, I think of three things. I think of word, community, and spirit. Word, community, spirit. Like three legs on a stool. A healthy church goes deep into God's word, God's truth. They know how to read the word. They dive deep into the word. They care about truth. A healthy church community goes deep into community. Life together. We don't do this alone, right? Often at North Langley, you'll hear messages like that. We don't do this alone. We're not lone rangers, right? God is a truth, community, word, community, but spirit. That we would lean into the things of the Spirit, that God's Spirit would fill us, that we would watch him move among us, that the Spirit would feel sovereign as he moves among us, drawing us to the Lord. Word, community, spirit. And word and community, because they've been two pillars for so long, I just want you to trust that I think we as a church, by God's grace and walking in humility, we can stay anchored to truth and to his church community as we explore the things of the Spirit, right? This frees us to explore the things of the Spirit in a very grounded way. And so what I want for us as a church is that we grow deep in all three areas. And in the coming days, that we would not quench the Spirit. That we wouldn't quench what he wants to do in us. All right, final image here. And then we'll pray. You know, some of my three children, sometimes have a little bit of a problem going down into the basement when it's dark. And even if they just want to get a crayon, they're like, no, I don't want to go down there. I only want to go down if one of my parents comes with me. And they don't want to go somewhere unless they have the presence of their father or mother with them. And it reminds me of a verse in Exodus 33. God told Moses and the people of Israel, you're going to go into the promised land. And Moses says this, Exodus 33:15. He says, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. Look at that. If you're not going with us, we don't want to go. We only want to go if you're going to be with us. We only want to take that step of faith if you're going to be right next to us. North Langley, he's delighted to walk with us. He's delighted. We don't want his power without his presence, right? We don't want his power without his presence. We want him. North Langley, as we think about the next coming weeks and coming months, as we think about our church and who God is shaping us to be, let this be our prayer. If your presence does not go with us, don't send us up from here. We only want to go if we get to go with you. Let's stand together. We're going to worship. We're going to begin with a time of prayer here. And so I just encourage you, just close your eyes, spend some moment. If you're new to Jesus, this is something we do often. We end our time in prayer. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that in the coming few minutes, you would just feel this freedom to move in the room. You are sovereign. You're in charge. So would you move in our hearts? Draw us to yourself. Lord, right now, I lift up my friends who are feeling cold, who are feeling dry in their walk with you. Would you come fill us again? Fill us with your love. North Langley, as we quietly listen to God's voice, would you just look back on your life for a minute? Where do you see his gifts active in your life? Just look back. And would you just thank him for that? It could be big or small. It can be the smallest thing. Would you just thank him? And if you want to, why don't you pray that he would just fan the flame of that gift in you again? That you would see that gift at work in a beautiful way again. Is there a gift that you eagerly desire to have? Would you pray for that gift? Is there someone hurting in your life, someone who has a need, and you would love to see the Holy Spirit meet that need through you? And so just pray for that gift. What's the risk that Jesus is asking you to take? What's that step of faith? Say, more of you, God. I want more of you in my life. I'm going to invite the prayer team forward. And prayer team is going to come forward, and they're going to be here up front. And you are welcome to come forward to receive prayer. Whether it's that feeling of dryness, and just say, I just want more of you, Lord. Whether it's a difficult relationship that needs healing, whether it's a gift that you want to see operate in your life. And again, if it's just simply, Father, I want more of you, fill me. Would you come forward? We'd love to pray for you. You can go to the prayer room. We'd love to pray for you. So Father God, we pray that you would work in a beautiful way here in the coming minutes. We don't want any of these gifts without you. Father, we know you love to give us yourself, so would you come and fill this room with your presence? We don't want your power without your presence, so come, Lord God. Father, pour out your Spirit upon us as a church. Give us a desire for your gifts. Give us joy as we live the Christian life. We love you. We give our lives over to you. Amen.